Welcome to YourBostonSports.com. I'm Rob Goodwin, along with my co-host, Randy Flanagan, who hasn't been in the studio in a while.
This looks great.
Great to have you here.
Good to come back.
Yeah, now you have a chance to critique what Corn and I said about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We have a new property, as we mentioned last time. YourBostonSports.com is our new property.
Yeah, and actually, look, the site looks great. I spent a few minutes on there. I'd welcome anybody to spend a few minutes on there and give us some feedback, but I think you did a great job there.
Thank you. And we hope to expand the coverage, obviously, with the new name to Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots. So that's kind of the plan.
Note to self, watch more hockey. Sorry.
Yeah, and watch more basketball once the Celtics get that number 6 pick.
And the 17.
That's right.
I'm excited.
And of course, we watch the Patriots. Well, I watch the Patriots. You watch the Patriots too, right? So, So I think we're pretty well covered there. Yep. But we hope to have some great guests on that are kind of specialists, for those teams. We know quite a few of them that do a great job out there. So Corn and I got together 2 weeks ago. We did a show, and we were optimistic. I mean, the Red Sox had won, I think, 6 of 7 or whatever. Right. And while Jackie Bradley Jr. is not hitting well, Bogarts wasn't hitting well with men in scoring position, mm-hmm. and Middlebrooks was questionable. It seemingly has all fallen apart since then. And we said, stay the course, go with the young kids. And I want you to tell me honestly, were we wrong at that point?
I mean, looking back on it 2 weeks ago and now having the luxury of the last 2 weeks, I think you guys were wrong to begin with. I think you're even more wrong.
So if you were here 2 weeks ago, you would have said that your patience was running out with the three of them?
Well, I think with there's some struggles with Middlebrooks too. I don't know if it's all injuries. He definitely adds some pop to the lineup. But I think we're at a point, I believe, that the current team is not gifted enough offensively. There's not enough, especially in the 5 through 9 spots, mm-hmm. totally different from last year. So I think we need to do something. It might cost us a young guy.
So you would have said the Red Sox have to do something now, 2 weeks ago. You would have said they have to make some type of move. You don't like the way things are going.
Well, I think 2 weeks ago, you thought they were winning.
They had won, 6 out of 7 and 6 out of 8 mm-hmm. at that point.
But weren't those games always iffy?
They were iffy. That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And I guess you can win iffy and still win a lot of games.
Well, you can win iffy to get you to the point where you win, scoring mm-hmm. more runs, getting more timely hits. You can win iffy to get by. And
by
I think
way,
that's probably what they were doing.
By the way, I'm not necessarily saying trade any of the guys that are playing today. I mean, you might have somebody that might be one of your top prospects that you might be willing to trade that will bring in a big bat. I do believe it will come at a cost, and I think they probably have to move one of the guys today. So I don't know which one.
Yeah, I mean, they may have overestimated Jackie Bradley Jr. and Grady Sizemore in center field. I think that's one thing the one thing they probably did, and we probably all did it. We were all so happy that Sizemore was playing like the veteran he always was in spring training, and then of course the season's completely different.
I think the problem is offensively too. So I mean, you've seen both of them make pretty good plays in center field. So I don't think defensively they have been too bad, unless I'm missing something here.
Well, I think Jackie Bradley Jr. won that job defensively mm-hmm. over Sizemore. I think Sizemore was kind of questionable. It's kind of we said before we saw him have some trouble judging fly balls, and I think Jackie Bradley Jr. with his arm and his speed in the outfield, that's why he's in there.
Right.
But I think they expected one of the two to really step up in a solid way, and unfortunately, offensively, that hasn't happened.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that's going to lead to movement. I don't think you can. Usually, your outfielders have some pop in the bat, and we need to do something. I don't think there's enough there.
Now, with Daniel Nava, that answer, you think?
Well, he's a pretty decent hitter, but. I don't know if it was because of the injury coming back from that or just not the same. He's not looking the same. He hit over 300 last year, mm-hmm. And he is right now 149.
But he's in AAA for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I heard that he's hitting a little better down there. So, the question is, do you make a move and bring him up? He could play some center field. He could replace Sizemore in theory. So, you know, that's kind of
the question. So why do you think he has a drop-off like that?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, confidence?
Well, if you think about this, if they didn't have Grady Sizemore, then they probably would have just let him play through it. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I believe. But they had Grady Sizemore. They had Victorino coming back from his injury. And Nava was the logical choice to get sent down because he wasn't hitting.
Right.
You know? But that said, I don't think he's done by any stretch. I hope this is not an indication of his career in general, mm-hmm. in what direction it's going. He's only played one full season.
I just don't know if there's anybody out there that they could pick up in a trade or otherwise.
Well, the rumor is that the Marlins are interested in Middlebrooks. Mm-hmm. And they could, in theory, well, this is pie in the sky. The Red Sox would love to get Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
Okay. But I don't see a one-up trade.
You probably
one
have to get two of the young guys, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Nava's a tough one, you know, and I think the whole outfield situation is a tough one. You know, Gomes hasn't hit that well.
I mean, he was like that last year, right? He just comes in and hits in the clutch when you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you least expect it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, of course, Steven Drew came back.
Yeah, so when does he start playing? He can play right away, right?
So let's kind of back up a little bit. So $10 million contract. So essentially, I guess he got the same money prorated. Right. No, he can't play right away.
Oh, really?
There's kind of some complications. And I have to thank Sean McAdam for writing this on CSNNE.com. So the first step is that Drew takes his physical, passes his physical. And the Red Sox immediately have to put him on the 25-man roster.
Okay.
So that means they send down someone, most likely Brock Colton. I don't know if at this point it's been done already. Mm-hmm. So then he has to pass through what they call option waivers for 48 hours. So they got to put him on waivers in order to be able to send him down to Pawtucket and play some time down there. So that could leave the opportunity of some other team claiming Steven Drew. Mm-hmm. Now, from what Sean McAdam wrote, as a courtesy, most teams in that situation do not claim someone, a major league player who's been signed after the season begins. Okay. So in theory, he passes through waivers, so then he's down to AAA. So Brock Holt's the odd man out now. Brock Holt cannot come back up to Boston for 10 days unless there's an injury.
I see.
So now Holt is down there, and they got to pick somebody up to come back and fill the 25th spot on the roster. Now, the good news is that the 40-man roster is actually at 39, so they don't have to release anyone from the 40-man roster.
Okay.
So, you know, that kind of makes it a little bit complicated, and you know, you won't see Brock Holt up for you know, 10 days at that point.
And what would happen if a team claimed Steven Drew?
Well, if a team claimed him, the Red Sox could either let them have him, and I don't know what the price is as far as salary. But if they would probably pull him back, if they pull him back, then he's on the 25-man roster for the rest of the year.
I see. So he wouldn't get the time in Pawtucket.
Wouldn't get the time in Pawtucket. So if you figure he spends 2 weeks getting ready, that would be 2 weeks if they'll have a 24-man roster instead of 25. You know.
Could somebody do that just to mess with us?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt. You know, you think about the Yankees, but I don't know if Ryan Cashman would do something like that.
It's sort of like dirty pool, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so the bottom line is that Scott Boras and Steven Drew caused all these issues for the Red Sox now because they declined the $14.1 million, you know, in the offseason. That's the bottom line. He's getting the same money just for less. He's getting the same money during the time he's signed for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now he's behind the eight ball, too. So he's getting the same money. But we're not getting the same player until he warms up.
Right, and he was behind the eight ball starting last year, if you remember. He had an injury and was on the disabled list to start the season as well. I think what they're hoping is that he'll help with their production against right-handed pitchers, which, oddly enough, they've been struggling. I mean, when have you ever seen a Red Sox team not hit right-handers well?
Well, they've been struggling everywhere, right? I mean, they're in the bottom three or four in the league. I think they're batting .245. Mm-hmm. They're in the bottom three or four for home runs. On base percentage is still pretty high.
Probably because of Napoli.
But they've got all these singles. They're hitting a lot of singles and stuff. But you know, there's just not a lot of pop. I they really need to do something.
Well, you know, the other thing that occurred to me compared to last year is the one place they're missing pop from is shortstop.
Right.
Because when Stephen Drew started on the DL, you had Iglesias mm-hmm. on fire hitting 350.
Right.
You know, and yes, they were dinking, you know, little dinky shots that fell in, at least a lot of them were. But you had a guy in 350 at shortstop position. That, I'm guessing that made a big difference in production, you know?
Yeah. But looking back at that, though, it still worked out. That trade still has mm-hmm. worked out because he's been out.
He's
out, I think, for the year.
Yeah, most likely. Again. Yeah.
So it still worked out.
Oh, it worked out.
In our favor. But you're right. We're missing the pop in that spot out of lineup. And I think once you get past, you know, Napoli in the lineup, you really aren't afraid of anybody down below.
And Napoli's cooled off as well.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So look at the pitching. I don't know if this is good news, but Felix DeBrant's on the DL as of last night. I would hope Workman comes up. He looked at that as a positive, potentially.
Well, DeBrant's an enigma, right? Yeah. When's he going to turn the corner to become that number three or four that you can legitimately count on?
I keep hearing, you know, that he's still trying to figure out the season. It's like, oh, at this point in time, after a full spring training,
yeah.
You know, we're you know, into well into May.
Yeah, his ERA is over five on a team that really isn't scoring a lot of runs, mm-hmm. and the rest of your pitching staff is, you know, 385 or something.
Right, right. I mean, like, and as I pointed out 2 weeks ago with Korn, and Korn, you know, obviously agreed, starting rotation the first three, not bad. I mean, the ERA is all under four. I mean, mm-hmm. Petey, two outings in a row have been subpar. But, you know, you look at Lester's ERA.
Yeah, he's down to 4.33. Lackey's right at four. Lester's 2.67. Mm-hmm. And Buchholz still struggling at 6.17.
Yeah.
Now he's had some flashes, right?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
He's pitching tonight.
I watched him pitch a marathon day. And,
oh, you went to the game marathon day?
Yeah, he didn't
day?
Look
oh.
good.
No, no.
Second inning, that was about the only inning you could salvage from his outing.
Yep.
But he didn't look good.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's in his head or...
I think when he's good, it's in his head. And when he's not good, it's in his head. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, he's never going to have a PV mentality. Although he needs to have something like that.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, I think the guy has been consistent in the past based on raw talent and raw stuff. You know, but baseball and pitching in general... And look, I'm not a pitcher, and I don't, you know, I never played one on TV, but...
But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
I did. But, you know, playing baseball and pitching especially, a lot of it's in your head, you know, and what kind of attitude you're going to have, how tough are you, and that's the question. You know, right. Tough, and never mind injury-wise with him, that's going to be a whole different conversation, mm-hmm. but how tough are you going to be when you're on the mound, when you've got to get out, you know?
Right.
And I just don't know. I just think he needs more of that. And like I said, I'm no expert. You're no expert. But, you know, a casual observer, I think, would come to that conclusion.
Bullpen still looks pretty decent. Right?
It does.
I mean, Koji is Koji. He's doing pretty well.
Yeah. Miller, blew two out of three games, mm-hmm. but that's going to happen.
Bettenhoff has come in.
Yeah, he has.
Doing pretty well.
Yeah. Well, he has kind of been a disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah. Badenhop, you know, he had early struggles, but has done very, very well. For the last, I think, probably 12 outings overall.
And of course, Karp came in for the take one for the team role in that blowout that they were they fell behind. They
yeah.
Just never
yeah.
caught up, and his ERA is 9. So that's not too bad for that's a position
true.
Player.
That's true. Yeah, 9. Yeah, I noticed that. So, and if you look at the American League East real quick, I mean, Baltimore in first place, and you think they're 10 games ahead, but they're a half game ahead.
Yeah.
It's amazing. 3 games over 500. So, you know, the Sox are 3.5 out. Not a lot of separation there. I don't know. The Yankees continue to stay in it.
They've lost three. They're losing everybody.
They lost three starters. CC Sabathia apparently has some kind of degenerative knee issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't surprising at age 34 when he's, you know, when he pitched, you know, when he was 300 pounds for so long.
And that was that's 300 is kind of going easy on him.
Okay, 310. Okay, William Perry, the refrigerator.
There you go.
And then you look at the Central. Detroit is it. You got to admit that.
Yeah.
They are something.
They are a good team.
Yeah.
You
look at Cabrera, and you look at, so many other players. They have the pitching. Verlander and Scherzer and Sanchez. I think on and on.
This could be their year.
This could be. But then again, they thought it was their year last year, and look what happened to them.
Yeah.
They went ran into the Sox in the playoffs. And
sorry.
Yeah. And then, the West, everyone's rooting for Oakland, I think. Angels are four out. But, that could change. I mean, Pujols seems to be coming around with the Angels. Mm-hmm. The National League East, Washington, good team. The Mets are even only five games out.
I don't expect that to be for too long.
Probably not. But you never know. And then the Central, you got Milwaukee is doing well. They're only 2.5 games up, but they've got 27 wins. Cubs, Theo, last place, 9.5 games. That's what surprises me. When you look at the Cubs are 9.5 out already, that's kind of scary.
Right.
And when you look at, even the Pirates, 8 games out with the year that they had.
Yeah, that's surprising because I thought they could have done, and they may still. They're 8 games under, right? Mm-hmm. But you start falling behind that far, and you're just digging yourself too deep.
Yeah.
Too many good teams there with St. Louis and Milwaukee, and frankly, Cincinnati is disappointing, but mm-hmm. they're in front of you? That's tough.
It is. Oof. The Pirates, did so well last year. They made the playoffs for their long-suffering fans, winning record, and then now look at this. 8 games out.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then quickly, the National League West, the Giants are up on the Rockies by 2 games. Dodgers are 4 out with our friend Josh Beckett. Mm-hmm. And my non-favorite manager, Don Mattingly.
He's out again, right?
He pitched last night,
okay,
I think.
All right.
Yeah, he pitched last night.
He's back.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well
I would imagine doing. It's San Fran and the Dodgers in that race there. I know Colorado's there. Mm-hmm. Colorado is always my dark horse to win 20 in a row to come back into it.
Yeah.
But I think it's San Fran and Dodgers.
Yep. So any plans to go to any games coming up?
So I'm going one in late July.
Late July. Against,
White Sox. So I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
At the marathon game. Hopefully another game or two.
Yep. Yeah. I'll get a game early July against the White Sox. So that should be good. And hopefully, one or two others later in the season. And then playoffs. We'll see. Struck gold last year with Game 6 of the ALCS. So
right.
That was great. That was exciting.
Yeah.
So, you got to just try to hope you can score something. And I did it legitimately on the website.
Very nice. Yeah, I think, for a while there, the Sox were giving up 4, 5, 6 runs before they were getting on the board. They seem to have gotten over that, but now just not getting over the hump.
Right. Last night, they were down. Well, they did get behind. They were behind last night.
Yeah.
And they were, 7-4, clawing their way back late in the game. But you just, you said, you just don't get the feeling they're going to be, they can do that.
Where last year, you felt like they could. They mm-hmm. could come back at any time. And I felt like that at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. like they could do that. I think we're not far off.
Right,
and
exactly.
And there's nobody's jumping off bridges mm-hmm. here because, frankly, it's compressed. AL East is compressed, so we'll see what happens.
Compressed, and no one's very far behind at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. We welcome all of our viewers and listeners to participate on yourbostonsports.com. The Facebook page is still Red Sox Alley, as is the Twitter feed at Red Sox Alley, but we'll be coming out with a new Facebook page at some point soon, and mm-hmm. probably a new Twitter feed as well.
Sounds
but you
good.
Can always reach us at RedSoxAlley@comcast.net, on the Facebook page, on Twitter at Red Sox Alley. You can listen to us on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on our website. So we're pretty much, our content is on all of our platforms, and we'll continue to be out there as well.
Oh, so you didn't ask me about my shirt.
Oh, yeah, so what's with the shirt?
There is a Boston tie to the shirt.
So you're Jim Calhoun?
Well, that's one tie.
Yeah.
Shabazz Napier.
That's true.
Massachusetts guy.
He's not Boston. He's Roxbury.
Oh, okay. He's a Massachusetts guy, right? Close enough to Boston.
Well, no. It is considered Boston, but I don't know if you know
this. He wants to play for the Celtics?
Oh, I don't know about
that. They got the 17th pick. Come on.
Maybe. But what I was going to say is that he made it clear that when he was going to be introduced during the NCAA tournament, he said that he was from Roxbury, Massachusetts. Because that, not from Boston, from Roxbury.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good for him. I happen to think he's very special.
Yep.
I think he's a special individual and a special player.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And I'm not a UConn, and I don't normally say anything good about UConn. I'm not a UConn fan. Yeah, I don't. But what I have to admit, Shabazz Napier is a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. I like him a lot.
Well, maybe we'll see him a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Well, thanks so much for joining me here in the Central Connecticut Studios with the birds singing on a beautiful Wednesday night.
Beautiful,
great
yeah.
night. And hopefully the weather will continue, although I think we're going to get some rain over the next couple of days. Not that this is a weather report necessarily, but I'm just making small talk.
We can go above and beyond.
Yeah, exactly.
Call of Duty,
exactly.
Right?
So this is our attempt to continue producing great content on a somewhat regular basis. What, not regular?
Great.
Oh, great. Oh, okay. So we'll see if we can get together for another couple of weeks. Maybe even the three of us.
That would be
great,
right?
That's a possibility, right?
The Three Musketeers back together again.
And we are working on another special guest. Corn's working on a special guest. He knows who he is.
Awesome.
So thanks again for joining me tonight, Randy Flanagan. Have a good one.
Have a great one.